You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Reverend Homer and his family suffered under the communist leadership because of their Christian witness. Later, when they had an opportunity to get even, they chose instead to show forgiveness. Pastor Homer explains to Dr. Meyer how Christmas became a source of strength in their conflict between selfishness and servanthood.
In the conflicts that you and your family experienced over receiving the Hanukkahs into your home, did thoughts of Christmas ever come to help and strengthen you?
I think that when the Hanukkahs came to stay with us, that was already the 30th of January. Christmas was already a month in the past. We were really not thinking of Christmas, but Christmas is always in our hearts. For us, Christmas goes on throughout the whole year. Whoever has experienced Christmas in his heart, he knows that God is there, especially for the homeless, for the poor, and that Jesus particularly wants us to enter into their situation. And so it was clear to us, as people of Christmas, that we would not permit any of our people to be abandoned in the street, that none of our people would be left alone in despair, and that was a strong motivation for us.
What is Christmas all about?
Weihnachten ist die Botschaft.
Christmas is the message that God has not abandoned us in this world with its needs and in its lost condition, but rather that God in Christ comes to us, and that he does not help us out of all of our needs. However, in all of our needs, he helps us and wants to guide us home to his heavenly mansions. And so Christmas is the affirmation of the loving presence of God in every situation.
Many people celebrate Christmas with a desire and a prayer for peace on earth. Not only peace among the nations, but peace in their own hearts and in their own families. Did Jesus come to take us out of our problems, or did Jesus come for another reason?
Jesus came in order to take upon himself the chief problem. And the chief problem is found in Genesis 3, the guilt of mankind, the separation of mankind from God. And that is the great longing of God's people, that finally he was to come who would remove the sins of the people, the separation from God. And that is what happened at Christmas, that he came for whom Abraham, Moses, and Adam had already been waiting. And on the cross, he made peace. Peace between God and us. That certainly is also the motivation for that peace which we experience, which is effective in us, and which we extend to others in this world.
Pastor Homer, would you please bring our listeners your Christmas greetings?
I bring you my greetings with the word of the angels, and now I must say it in own words. Be not afraid. The angel said, I will bring you great joy. And I hope that this great joy will go all over your country and all over the world, the joy of the coming Christ into this world.
Mr. Detlef Lede is a high-ranking customs official in Germany, the president of the German Lutheran Layman's League, and a published theologian. In his conversation with Dr. Meyer, Mr. Lede speaks of the conflict he experienced between the secular and the spiritual.
It's a pleasure to have you, Mr. Detlef Lede, in our Lutheran Hour studio here in Germany. How do you prepare your children for the true celebration of Christmas?
During the week, we have several Advent devotions. That is to say, we light the Advent candles,
and read portions of the Gospel or of other parts of Scripture. We discuss these with the children, sing the Advent songs, and in that way try to lead up to the celebration of Christmas.
You've celebrated Christmas on both sides of the Berlin Wall. What are your remembrances of Christmas before 1960?
Unsere Familie gehörte in Ost-Berlin.
Our family belonged in East Berlin to a small congregation which had only a small barracks-type hut for a church building. We were just a small congregation, as I had said, and only a small number of people attended services. But one thing we remembered very clearly. When we heard the words of the Lord, "I am the light of the world," that had a special meaning for us. The festive celebration of Christmas was, you must understand, really a light for us in our secular surroundings, a light amidst the everyday sadness of life.
You say that Christmas was a light for you in East Germany. What specific part of the Gospel, what specific message of Christmas most lightened you in those dreary days?
Ja, die Zusage, das und die Tatsache.
Yes, the promise and the fact that God's Son became man, became incarnate, and that He is the real King and Lord of the world, and not just some worldly communist dictator.
How is it in Germany, in West Germany now?
In westlichen Teil Deutschlands erlebte
in West Germany, I experienced really just the opposite. The church buildings were large and were brightly lighted, and there were so many lights that there was the danger of forgetting the real light, the light of our Lord.
In the West, there are many lights at Christmas time, and not all of those lights are calling us to the truth that God in Christ has come into the world. Would you please talk about some of the false lights and how they are attracting people today at Christmas time?
Ja, da gibt es einmal,
yes,
die Lichter,
there are namely the deceitful lights of materialism, of buying and exchanging gifts at Christmas, and then also the false spiritual lights in the form of sects.
In the past, the enemy was atheistic communism. Now, New Age and other philosophies are the enemy. Which is more dangerous?
I believe the more dangerous is this creeping infiltration. When confronting atheism, you know what you are facing. You sense the demonic very clearly. However, with this New Age spirituality, you have to recognize, first of all, that you are dealing with an anti-Christian stream of ideas.
You've listed many of the false lights of Christmas time. How should the church react to those false lights?
It is not only at Christmas that the church has to deal with the false lights, but it is a year-round task. The church's challenge is to oppose whatever the false lights of the times may be, materialistic or spiritual, and has to point to the true light of Christ.
There's a strong sense of sentimentality attached to Christmas. The danger is that this could totally absorb our celebration and overshadow the significance of the spiritual message of the season. Dr. Hans Lutz Petsch, the director of the International Lutheran Hour's branch office in Bremen, Germany, reveals the conflict between the sentimental and the significant at Christmas.
It's a privilege to welcome you, Dr. Hans Lutz Petsch, to our Christmas program. We have many customs in the United States and in Canada that come from Germany, for example, the Christmas tree. How is the Christmas tree used in Germany?
Oh, in general, the Christmas tree stands in the living room It is brought in the 23rd of December, then it is decorated with candles, and after the church service in the afternoon of the 24th of December, then the candles are lighted and the family enters the living room, and the Christmas gifts were distributed to all the members of the family.
You mentioned on Christmas Eve the children receive their presents. In America, the children ask for many presents, and they ask Santa Claus to bring those presents. How is it in Germany?
It's just the same, yeah. They write to Santa Claus, and then he shall bring all these gifts. But, of course, not all parents are able to pay and to buy all those gifts they want to get.
Does that secularization of Christmas also show up in some of the people who come to worship Christmas Eve and Christmas Day?
I think we have no day during the year at which the church buildings are so filled as is on Christmas Eve. And people want to get something like a sentimental feeling from the respective services.
What about American society? We begin already in early November to see Christmas commercials and advertisements. Christmas parties begin many, many weeks before the 25th. Christmas trees go up much earlier. The society as a whole celebrate Christmas differently in America than here in Germany.
I wouldn't say so. You see, the preparations for Christmas, as far as supermarkets and department stores are concerned, are just the same. I think we are we to a certain extent are a step farther already.
You say you're further. Does that mean that you're farther away from historic Christianity here than we are in the United States?
I think so, yes. The Western materialism has penetrated our population to such a degree which is not yet reached in the United States, and I hope you don't reach that stage.
You have served for many, many years as a pastor, and for many years as the pastor of your congregation. When a pastor approaches Christmas, he has very warm, heartfelt feelings and thoughts toward the members of his congregation that he has served and loved. What are some of those thoughts now as we celebrate Christmas, and what are your profoundest prayers, not only for the people of your congregation, but for Christians and people everywhere?
It is always the prayer that God may give us His Holy Spirit, that He breaks through all this kind of sentimentalism, this kind of wrong self-understanding, this kind of always feeling you are standing in the center and you are responsible to nobody. You are absolutely free, and absolute means away from God. Thus, my prayer is that people may more and more understand what it means to have God as their real Father.
I thank you, and I wish you and the members of your congregation all the blessings of our Savior's birth today and every Christmas day.
Thank you so much.
This Christmas offers you life's greatest blessing. It offers you God's presence in your conflicts. I'd like to reflect with you about Christmas in conflict. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us." The story of Emmanuel's birth is told in familiar words by St. Luke. "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment, when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child.
And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Jesus Christ was born into a world of human conflicts. Mary and Joseph knew conflict. They had to make the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem because a foreign power had decreed a census. A long, difficult journey, a hated foreign power's taxation. Why, the emperor had no sympathy for little people and their problems. And there was conflict when they arrived in Bethlehem. Mary was soon to give birth, but no place to stay. Does life have to be this difficult? How upset, how concerned they must have been. Yes, Mary and Joseph knew all about conflict. Strip away the sentimentality of the Christmas story, and its significance is very true to your life and to your conflicts. Not that sentiment is wrong, but it disappears so quickly. The sentiment of Christmas is a facade that will give way in a few days to normal life with its everyday conflicts. Conflicts have a way of enduring and even multiplying. Strip away society's sentiment from Christmas, and one significant fact remains for your everyday life. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. God wants to be with you, just as he was with Pastor Homer, with Mr. Leda, and with Dr. Pitch. Yes, God wanted to be with them. He wanted to be with Mary and Joseph in their conflicts, and he wants to be with you. That's why he came, to be Emmanuel, God with you. He sheds light upon your conflicts. There is one basic conflict that lurks behind every conflict in life. That is our alienation from the Holy God. We're simply not the people God intended us to be. That has alienated us from God, and it has also alienated us from one another. Alienated people are people in conflict. The birth of Jesus Christ brings God bodily into our human life with its countless conflicts. God came at Christmas to resolve that most critical conflict. He came to bring us back to God. By his birth, his life, his death and resurrection, Jesus Christ has reconciled humanity to God. When alienated people come together to God in the forgiveness of Christ, they can find their alienation from one another transformed into reconciliation. That's how Pastor Homer was able to take an enemy into his home. Because God had reconciled him through the coming of Emmanuel, he was ready to receive an alienated man. Emmanuel, God with people in their conflicts with communism. Emmanuel, God with you in your conflicts. He is with you because he has resolved the basic conflict of sin with his forgiveness. Your sins forgiven by his birth, his death, and his resurrection. He wants to bring you the confident assurance that he gave to Pastor Homer, to Mr. Leda, to Dr. Pitch, to Mary and Joseph, and to the shepherds. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Good tidings of great joy. The Savior is born. Emmanuel is come. The true light breaks into the conflicts of our humble daily lives. The shepherds shared the light. They did not keep Emmanuel to themselves. This was no holiday sentiment. They had something significant to tell. No longer defeated by life, they became servants of the Christmas message. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Could we keep the spiritual light of Christ to ourselves? Oh, no. We, too, are servants of the Christmas message. The shepherds startled all that they met with the true meaning of Christmas. Our Christmas message is also startling. It causes conflict. Conflict with every suggestion that life can be lived without God and without Christ. We who have been reconciled to God are in conflict with the selfishness of our society. We oppose our society's sentimental and secular Christmas with the true spiritual meaning of Christ's birth. He did not come to bring a worldly and a material peace. He came to bring the peace of sins forgiven. Emmanuel came to us at Christmas to reconcile us to God. We are servants of that Christmas message. God is with us. Conflicts? Yes, we are in conflict. We all have conflicts, like the Christians of Germany, like Mary and Joseph, and like the shepherds. Our joy is that God entered into our life of conflicts with His peace, His forgiveness, His reconciliation. Emmanuel is the Christmas message. He came to restore you to God and to be with you in your life. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.